You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
I'm Caitlin Rudnick.
And I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams. So this is my spiral this week. I really deeply, and I've told Sue, like, I think I want to ask our listeners, like, do you guys have any fashion advice? Like, I just feel like our listeners are such a wide group of people.
Wait, what do you mean?
I feel like if I know somebody listening is like a fashion consultant and a style consultant, and yeah. I know if I said, yeah. What hair color should I go? Or like, what jeans would be best for my body type? Somebody out there would know. I mean, we have people from all over. We have this kick-ass girl from Australia that we met who's a graphic designer. Like, people know stuff.
What do you think? But what do you feel like your problem areas?
I just feel like I can't take care of myself.
No,
I can't take care of myself, and I don't have any style. And I want a stranger who knows my voice to tell me how I should look.
You want a Jonathan Van Ness to come in and be like, "This is what we're doing."
Yeah, but like more like better.
But like, you want a Clinton Kelly and
yes,
a Stacey London.
Yes.
I love that show. They were so good.
So this is my issue. I was looking for someone to teach me basically how to be a grown-up on YouTube because we always say Mackenzie Thomas opened our eyes to this insane YouTube world.
To YouTube. Yeah.
So now that you guys were doing the makeup stuff that I didn't care about, now I am starting to like dabble into the looks department of YouTube. And there's this person who's Russian and she is doing a whole tutorial about face shape and how face shape and eyebrows and haircut and how it makes your face the best. And if you divide your face into three levels, you can like make it look thinner or fatter. And guys, this is the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. I direct messaged her a picture of myself and said, should I get bangs? This person doesn't know me at all. And I send a weird shot, and there's two shots, one of me smiling and one of me straight in. Did she respond? No. Did she see it? No. So I just talked to some stranger who I watched on YouTube and asked her what I should do with my face.
Wait, I have two thoughts on this. My first thought is today I direct messaged Kim Kardashian on Instagram. And I was like, she posted about the fires in Australia. And I genuinely said, Kim, I love it when you use your platform for social justice causes.
I'm so sweet.
To Kim Kardashian, like, she's going to write back to me.
Is she a listener of the pod? Maybe. That is so sweet.
No.
That's so sweet of you because honestly,
but I do.
I do too. And the Australian fires are very upsetting.
Platform.
Yes.
Yeah. and my second thought is, have you ever had bangs or like
so I
Let's talk about
bangs. Okay. More importantly. So I had bangs as a child and they looked great. But since a child, my face has changed like it does. And now it is a longer adult face. And I don't know if bangs on my adult face will look as good. Guys, these are the political issues we're worried about.
Of our time. As someone who has had bangs for the last several years, I want you to know that they are a significant amount of
work. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, you're great.
But your bangs are great, and people should be. Guys, message Sue, direct message Sue, and ask her about your bangs, and she'll give you bang advice.
I will be a bang consultant if you want.
She'll do it. Oh, you guys.
I can't believe I messaged Kim Kardashian. That's so embarrassing. And as I was doing it, I was like, what am I doing?
I think I've done that once. I don't know. I've messaged all kinds of people, but I also don't think.
But like, people with that kind of platform should be using it for good.
Constantly.
Like Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
you know?
She should be using it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I love what you're doing. But guys, also, we love you guys. And speaking of people we don't know, we love our Patreon sponsors. That's our segue.
We have great new Patreon patrons. And thank you guys so much for sponsoring us. So we put out an exclusive episode on Christmas that on Patreon that is just us walking around Target and talking to ourselves. And it's wonderful.
Guys, it's so fun. Sue, for Christmas, I got one of that brand that we were talking about on the Patreon thing, the Love, the Joy. Joy Fitness, the Target one that's fuzzy.
Yes.
And my mom gave me one of those sweatshirts and she didn't even listen to the episode. She just was like, I think you want this. And I went, oh my God, Sue, when I opened
Joy Lab.
Yes. I was like, Sue, Joy Lab, we talked about this. And no one in my family knew what I was talking about. You know, that's okay. They don't need to be Patreon sponsors. I was just like, oh my God, Sue. So I had to tell you, I got a Joy Lab for
Merry Christmas. It's from me.
I know.
So if you go on our Patreon, it's patreon.com/scamwowpodcast, and you become a supporter, you can get access to that feed. And once we get 100 supporters, we are going to release episodes twice a month that are like that are just about friendship
and
fun.
Just us living our life just to get to know us more.
Yeah, and so our newest Patreons are Rachel and Hannah. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much, and we love you, and we love your sweet messages, and they mean a lot to us. And we will respond to you.
Yeah.
Take that, Kim, with your amazing platform.
Yeah, Kim.
I want to know if she's seen it. Can you tell if she's seen it?
Oh, let me look. Why would I even look? She probably gets 1,000 a minute.
I know.
No, she doesn't. But you know what? I'm going back in my feed, and I've replied to her before. And, oh my God, I replied to her a year ago and said, thank you for using your platform wisely. Oh my God.
Sue, you're so sweet.
I'm such an idiot.
You're such a sweet, you're like a sweet mom who's like, you go, girl. I love it. You're so sweet. Well, that's great, guys. And if you need to know, Kim's doing it great. And she's got the Sue approval.
She does. She does. I mean, of course, as we've talked about, she's problematic in some ways. Don't get me wrong. It's not a blanket acceptance.
No.
Okay.
Correct. And we have been brought and we do hear and we do see that, yes, there are a lot of issues that we have with Kim Kardashian.
Family,
yes.
We can't dismiss them outright.
And what they do. Right.
Yeah.
But also, thanks for talking about Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, guys, speaking of current horrible things happening in the world, we're going to talk about politics. And
well, I just want to say, you guys, I know politics is bad. I know there's politics all over the news right now. And we're all at like a saturation point with all this bullshit that's happening in our country. And we're in a very difficult time right now. But what I'm going to talk about, I feel like we all need to just like recalibrate and reassess and be like, oh, yes, we have to keep fighting because this is ridiculous, because it's so easy to get overwhelmed with every single news story and just be like, I can't do anything. So we just
sad. Yeah. I get really overwhelmed and I just shut down.
Same. So I just want us all to be like, okay, no, this is bad and we need to keep fighting and there is hope and we can do something about it. And also I will say this is a political episode. We are liberal. If that is not your thing, we have lots of other episodes you might like. So
we're not fans of Mr. Trump, okay?
We don't like our president.
If you are, go for it. Live your life.
There is no need to leave us nasty reviews or comments. Just listen to another episode right now. Okay.
Yeah. Or if you don't like us, that's okay.
That's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah. But just keep that to yourself.
Yeah. You don't have to tell us. But before we get into Cuckoo Trumpo, So these were the things I was looking at.
Katie has a historical political scam to like sort of ease us into talking about our nightmare of a president.
So I'm just Googling around, playing around online, and I come against one of these guys named George Q. Cannon. And he is
George Q.
Yeah, George Q. He's a Utah territorial delegate. He was refused a seat due to a conviction of unlawful cohabitation for polygamy, for which he served nearly 6 months in a Utah's federal penitentiary. So this was the scandal in 1888. And what I think is so funny is how he was justifying polygamy. So this guy was originally born in Liverpool, England. He was baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. And his family set sail in 1842 to the United States. And his life wasn't great. Okay, his father sent him to live with his uncle and aunt. And then I think they got killed. So he was a missionary. And then he came back and he wanted to work for government. But the problem was that he practiced plural marriage and was married to 6 women.
Whoa.
But what I think is so funny, like, yeah, it's so stupid. But there's this quote and it's on Wikipedia. You can at me. I don't care. But he spoke a justification for the practice. He believed in it. And I think it's so funny because he says, he's quoted on stating, "Our crime has been, we married women instead of seducing them. We reared children instead of destroying them. Let it be punished to the four corners of the earth that in this land of liberty, the most blessed and glorious upon us, which as sun shines, the law will swiftly invoke to punish religion, but justice goes limping and blindfolded in pursuit of crime." So he's basically thinking that he is this mensch. And he said it even that he went underground with others of the church as a fugitive from the federal authorities in September 1888, and then finally surrendered himself and pleaded guilty to trials of unlawful cohabitation.
So he just has a lot of love to give.
That's the thing, guys. Yeah. He only served 6 months because he's a white guy in Utah.
Of course.
And he was pardoned in 1894 by President Grover Cleveland. So he didn't really suffer that much.
No.
He fathered 32 children.
Damn.
And some of them are like members of the House of Representatives, prominent architects. And then it says here that the BYU football games, the BYU ROTC celebrates touchdowns with a cannon named George Q. Now, guys, these guys who are polygamists really thought they were like such good guys, like the good guys you wish you had. Like instead of just fucking women and leaving them, they were going to marry them, all 6 of them. So there's this really funny picture that I got on Wikipedia, and it's everyone in their prison uniforms. But Sue was like, they look like they're in suits and they're in like fancy prison uniforms, and the guy in the middle is George Q holding a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah,
like they loved themselves.
They're in like black and white striped jailbird suits.
And they just happy amazing. As can be. Just like happy. Loves himself. And I think it's just really funny. I love the defense.
I love it. So George Q was kicked out of the government because he was a polygamist.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, you know, this battle that polygamists continue to face is ages old.
Ages old. Guy just has a lot of love to give and a lot of sperm to spread.
He has a lot of seed to spread. He's got to spread that seed.
He's got to go places.
He's like Johnny Appleseed.
All over Utah.
Yeah.
He's got to go all over Utah.
Oh, boy.
Spreading those seeds. Yeah. So if anybody knows anymore, let me know. I just thought that was like a really funny, stupid thing.
Thank you for speaking of sperm, lubing us up into our political discourse today. Thank you very much.
And full disclosure, listeners, I told Sue I could not do research on Trump because he upsets me. So she's going to tell me and you for the first time right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Katie fully did not want to do this topic and I forced her.
I didn't want to. It made me too upset. There's a lot happening in the world. I get really sad and it makes me like want to lay undercover. So I am excited for Sue to tell me the tales.
Yeah. I felt like I had to because, you know, the fact that he. Okay. The topic is Donald Trump and this many scams of Donald Trump are scammer in chief. And I thought I had to do this because he's one of the reasons I wanted to start the podcast in general. And I've just avoided covering him. But like, we have a scammer in office. He has been impeached, but he is still our president somehow because impeachment kind of means nothing unless he's removed from office. So I know it's really bad. I just want to go through. I'm not going to touch too much on like.
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just like so scared to talk about politics. Anyway.
I know.
What renewed my like drive to do this was I read Gia Tolentino's book over Christmas called Trick Mirror, and she kind of listed his many scams. And one quote from her that was like very like spot on, I felt, was the con is in the DNA of this country, which was founded on the idea that it is good, important, and even noble to see an opportunity to profit and take it whenever you can. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's real. Yeah.
I think that's real and it's so true. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the many scams of Donald Trump fall into three main categories.
Okay.
Charity, financial, and Trump University and educational.
Okay.
And educational. So with the charity scam, he started something called the Donald J. Trump Foundation. And he's had this foundation for years and years. But in 2018, the New York Attorney General's office sued him and all of his adult children, saying that the Donald J. Trump Foundation was functioning as little more than a checkbook to serve Mr. Trump's business and political interests, engaging in a shocking pattern of illegality.
So, and his kids were involved too?
So the kids were on the board of trustees of this fake-ass charity. And these are the things that the Attorney General in New York accused the charity of. $10,000 was spent on a portrait of the president, later found display on a sports bar at the Trump Doral. So this is charity money going towards these things. $100,000 was used to settle a legal dispute with the city of Palm Beach, which Trump resolved by contributing the amount to the Fisher House Foundation. So he paid off somebody to settle a legal dispute with charity money. $258,000 was used to settle lawsuits against Trump and his businesses. $5,000 was used to advertise Trump hotels, which, you know, having worked in advertising, that's too little. And then, so the attorney general says that this charity, Donald J. Trump Foundation, donated to his campaign, his presidential campaign, which is bad because tax-exempt foundations are explicitly prohibited for participating or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of a candidate. So anything that's a charity can't get politically involved. The attorney general alleged that the charity never once, the board of directors never once had held a meeting, and that Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg had no idea he was an officer on the board until an investigator told him as much, all of which sounds super legit. So it's just a scammy charity that the president is running.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and then the charity's largest donation was $264,231 to the Central Park Conservancy. Went to restoring a fountain outside the Plaza Hotel, which Donald Trump owned. So he donated to the Central Park Conservancy from his charity so that they would beautify his hotel. Yeah. And then the smallest donation from his charity was $7, a $7 gift to the Boy Scout, which was happened around the time that Donald Trump Jr. joined the Boy Scouts. So he used his charity to pay his membership, his Donald Trump Jr.'s membership fees to the Boy Scouts. So last December, the Attorney General announced that Trump would shut down the charity and he is being forced to pay back $2 million to a group of charities to settle the suit and give away the remaining money in the charity. But Trump, who is like the master of spin, denied any wrongdoing and he spun this fucking thing as an act of charity saying the Trump Foundation was pleased to donate an additional $2 million to worthy organizations.
Oh, so he said that his fine was another
donation.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. So his charity was a scam. This is one of his scams, is the Donald J. Trump Foundation. And now we're going to take a quick break. Okay, let's talk about something I think that should be talked about more. Fertility and babies. Remember when we were growing up, everybody was like, do not have a baby, wear a condom, don't have sex, all of that kind of stuff. But we didn't learn when we were actually supposed to have kids and when it was okay to have kids. But what if you like maybe want kids and you're like 37 and you're like, wow, did I wait too long? Can I even have kids anymore? I don't know, just hypothetically. Anyway,
that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's the easy way to check your fertility hormones at home with just a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get personalized results within 10 days. We all know that the healthcare industry is pretty scammy. And that's why traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000. Well, Modern Fertility costs only $159 to get the exact same info. And if you go to modernfertility.com/scam, you'll get $20 off your test. So with the test, you'll get insight into how many eggs you have, your hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags. The results go in depth into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps, which is great. And they're actually sending me a kit. I'm gonna do this with you guys to see, you know, where I'm at in life and whether I squandered away my fertile years, which I probably freaking did. So let's do this together. Go to modernfertility.com/scam. And it's not a scam. That's just the code. Okay, modernfertility.com/scam, and you'll get $20 off your test.
Happy family planning.
So that's one of his scams. His second scam, his second big scam, is financial and real estate scams. And this is like, there is an episode on The Daily, which I'm going to link in the show notes, which is the New York Times podcast that they do every day. And they do a good job of like breaking down really complex things so that you can... I don't know, understand them in like, you know, relatable terms. So they had done an episode in 2018 about Fred Trump, Donald Trump's dad, and how Fred Trump did all these tax loopholes to pass down his wealth to Donald Trump. Oh. So Donald Trump famously says that he started his company with a $1 million loan from his dad and nothing else. But that's so not true. He's not a man of the people. He was passed down generational wealth over the course of his lifetime. So by like even to the point where at the age of three, he was earning $200,000 because he was technically Fred Trump's landlord, like on one of his buildings. Yes. That's what they just manipulated these documents so much.
Well, how? Yeah. How fucked must your mind be if you were told like, when you can understand things like, well, 3 years old, you were a landlord. Like, this guy must think he's some sort of, like, money god.
He does. And, I mean, he does.
Behaves that way.
Okay, so he was a millionaire by age eight because Fred Trump had, like, transferred ownership of his buildings to Donald Trump as well. I mean, of course, Donald Trump is having no, like, doing in this, or, like, he's eight.
No, but that is, like, a crazy thing to have in your brain. Like, I'm sure his dad also probably told him something like that. Like, eight-year-olds don't have any concept of that, and you just, you create this like insane
complex. So when he was in his 40s and 50s, he was receiving more than $5 million a year from Trump's investments. And Fred Trump was this like real estate mogul in Queens who like built up all these affordable housing, and he ended up owning so much stuff that he basically controlled so much stuff. And like, and he was really the self-made person. It wasn't Donald Trump at all. So overall, they transferred over $1 billion of wealth to their children before they both died, Fred and Mary Trump, their parents. And the tax law says that you're supposed to pay 55% tax on stuff that's gifted to you. But they went through these loopholes that they only ended up paying about 5% of taxes on everything they transfer to them.
Right, because if you transfer, it's not considered a gift if the person, I guess, works with you.
Well, if you just give them the money, it's the gift. And you get...
Right, but if you make that person like a you know, a landlord in your building or something, and they're
then you don't have to pay the 55% tax. It's so scammy. Damn. It's so, like, crazy. Yeah. So the New York Times, like, dug through Fred Trump's like documents. Yeah, I know, documents and records. And like even the article on it is so hard to read, but they documented 295 distinct streams of revenue Fred Trump created over five decades to channel wealth to his son. So 295 ways that Donald Trump is getting money from his dad, which is...
I need to do one of those for my son.
How do I channel wealth to my cats?
A lady on the bus gave my son $2 for candy, and he can't eat candy because he's a baby. And so I used it to clean his laundry.
That's
and
very sweet.
I think I channeled his wealth there, but maybe I should have put it in savings. Now I feel bad. I'm going to give him $2 for when he's old enough to have candy.
No, he's not going to know what to do with it. He's going to be, this is paper. I'm going to eat it. You know what I mean?
I don't want him to turn into Trump. I know. I don't want him to be like, when I was a baby, a stranger gave me $2. Now I'm a millionaire. I was so rich.
Yeah. So in the 80s, Donald Trump started getting this press attention. He was on Letterman. He was on Oprah of like the richest man of all time. And he started this Playboy image. And at that time, he started buying up huge pieces of real estate, like casinos in Atlantic City, New Jersey. He bought the Plaza Hotel. He took out huge loans. And then he got into financial trouble because he really overdid it on that. And he got tons and tons of loans from Fred Trump to bail him out so that all of his businesses wouldn't go out of business, wouldn't stop, but that he was given these loans very sketchily.
Probably they couldn't be tracked.
Yeah, exactly.
Well. Like not an official loan so that you wouldn't. It's all avoiding taxes. It's like really he's learned from his father how to go around the tax system.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why we haven't seen his taxes. So he got loans from his father, but they were done very sketchily. So Fred Trump would buy one of Trump's condos, but he would buy it for way more than the asking price. So that asking price was $1 million. Fred Trump would buy it for $11 million. And then Donald Trump would have that money and he wouldn't have to pay that gift tax of 55%. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jesus. It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Donald Trump's whole thing is that he's a self-made man with only a $1 million loan from his dad. And that's just not true. It's not true at all. Okay. So one major way that they siphoned off this cash was by creating a company called All County Building Supply and Maintenance. So on paper, All County bought everything for all of Fred Trump's properties, from boilers to cleaning supplies to air conditioners. This company bought everything, but they would bill back to Fred Trump that they spent more on it than the actual cost. So if an air conditioner was $50, they would bill it to Fred Trump for $100. Fred Trump would pay All County $100. And then that difference would go to the owners of All County Building and Supply Maintenance, which were his children.
Okay, so the way he made... So yeah, it just seemed like his father was constantly overpaying him. So that was the way that they could then pocket and save
exactly.
That
money. So he created a company that was owned by his children to buy supplies for his buildings and then charge him more. He was overpaying this company. And the money was...
He was just moving his money
around. He was moving his money
around. Yeah,
in circles. The company was going to his kids. And the money was going to his kids, but he wasn't doing it outright to avoid this gift tax.
Yeah, he was doing it to avoid
so taxes. It's like if I... Right? Or if I'm your super, right? And you need a new faucet and I go and buy you a new faucet and then I bill your landlord and the faucet is $20. I bill your landlord for $40. Your landlord pays me $40. Then that extra $20... is something that I just put in my pocket. Yours. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's through the family. So he's so he doesn't, there's no tracking of sending personal checks.
Exactly. So
it's all with faucets.
It's all faucets and air conditioners. So this was the biggest way he siphoned off the cash. And the shitty thing about this scam is that he was able to use it to justify rent increases. So he would do this in his rent stabilized buildings in New York. You know, he would use this All County company for supplies in his rent stabilized buildings. And
so he'd be saying the cost of living is going up because all these little prices are adding more. But really, it's just so that his dad can give him money. So he's creating a false sense of value. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in order to raise rent on rent stabilized buildings, you have to prove that the cost of living is going up. So he would use these inflated charges from All County to say the cost of living is going up. I need to raise these people's rents. And
he controlled the amount of money, or his family controlled the amount that it would be.
So
it's basically the American economy.
It's such a huge scam. And so when he raised their rents, the proof that he went to the state of New York, he said that he had $30 million in major improvements. With these invoices from All County, he had $30 million worth to say, hey, I put this much into these buildings, so I need to raise their rent. But really, it was just extra money that was going back to him.
Right. So it's really $30 million that my dad was giving
me. Exactly. Well, this is Fred Trump who owned it. So Donald Trump was benefiting from this, but this was Fred Trump's scam.
This was Fred Trump's math.
Fred Trump's math.
You know
what? He's a smart guy.
I think this is like really smart, shady math. I mean, I'm not a fan, but like he's really using the system to get cheaply.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's really shady, shitty math.
It's really smart.
Scumbag. Yeah. Horrible math. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ruining people's lives and raising rent, but it's really smart.
But to scam people who live in rent-stabilized buildings.
I know. That's because they don't have any value of those people. They don't value the people or value why those people might need that situation. Oh. It doesn't matter to them. It's only so that they can get money where they want to get it without dealing with the government.
It's fucking awful. So also to dodge the gift tax, they would undervalue the assets that they were passing on. So when Fred Trump was on his deathbed, he'd be like, oh, this is my apartment. It's only worth $1 million, but it's worth like $20 million, you know, before passing them on.
And so then when he passed it on, that person could then sell it for the real value.
Yes.
But not be taxed on it when he passed it on.
Right. So Fred Trump's 1995 tax return claimed that the 25 apartment complexes and other properties in his trust were worth just $41.4 million. The implausibility of this claim would be made plain in 2004 when banks valued the same real estate at nearly $900
million.
So he said they were only worth $41 million. And then they were appraised by banks 10 years later and they were worth $900 million.
Yeah, and then he's on his deathbed, and then he just dies, and he's like, "Here, whatever, you go. Come at me, I'm dead."
In the 70s, Fred and Donald Trump were actually sued by Richard Nixon's Department of Justice because they would refuse to rent their properties to black people, that they would send black people to the buildings and ask if there was anything for rent, and they would tell them no, and then they would send a white person, and they would tell them yes.
Fuck.
Yeah,
them.
This is the Justice Department that sued him. So
they're racist. Yeah, cool.
He's racist as well, as a scammer. He has been coordinating stock purchases since the 1980s. This is so scammy and so like brilliant as well. So he would tell his father, buy stock in American Airlines. And then he was getting all this media attention. He would tell the media, I'm thinking of purchasing American Airlines. Then the stock value would go up. His father had already bought stock in it, and then he would cash out and make money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the celebrity like fad. That's like Kylie Jenner being like, I love Snapchat, and she gets a piece of it. And then she's like, I'm over Snapchat. That's exactly what's happening
right
now.
Austin told me yesterday, he was like, all of the military stocks are going up. And I was like, yeah. They're going up already? He was like, yeah, it's because Trump was telling people before Christmas that he was going to do this in Iran. So it's the same method he's still using to fucking fuck over the stock exchange for his personal gain. And then another financial scam and real estate scam, my friend told me that her parents invested in one of his buildings and he just stopped construction on it. And the building never like got built and they wanted their money back. And he was like, you're going to have to sue me to get your money back. And so all these people never got their money back. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And he does this all the time. Oh, I have another one. Okay. Yeah. I have two good ones. His personal driver of 25 years sued him in 2018 for $200,000 in unpaid wages for overtime. And Donald Trump wouldn't pay him. His personal driver.
Just didn't
he wouldn't pay it. 25 years, his personal driver. Like, he'll fuck over anyone.
Then his personal driver needs to come out to the media and talk the shit and tell us what really went down and leak that stuff. That's what you do. When your boss fucks you over, you leak.
I know. And here's another one. Okay, so this Russia thing, Trump was planning to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. I'm not sure if it got built, but he planned to offer Vladimir Putin a $50 million condo if he succeeded in building a Trump Tower in Moscow while he was running for the presidency. Like, it's so bad.
This is scary. Also, I feel like we're getting currently tapped by the government right now. We're being watched.
Oh, yeah. The government's probably so on our ass for this. Okay. It's fine. Ugh. Oh, of course, this ties to Saudi Arabia. Associates of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who the Trump administration has been defending for his role in the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, spent more than $250,000 at Trump's New York hotel earlier this year, according to the Washington Post. So Saudi Arabia, like, he's still doing business. He's still making money on his properties with foreign countries. So it's so bad. Okay. I can't think too much about it, but we have to be
so creeped out, so upset.
We can't just tune this shit out. We have to fucking hold this guy accountable and get him the fuck out of office, because if we just tune it out, he's going to get reelected.
Yeah. It's just a lot, and it's like I wonder what a psychologist would say to us. Like, how do you receive this information but then just like keep going and cope with
it?
Cuz that's a really tough thing.
How do I take it in? Like, how do I, like, take it in without being constantly
destroying yourself
on edge and in fear? Maybe we need to have a therapist on and tell us, because this is still from 2016. It's been so traumatizing, like, every day. Mm-hmm. All right. One more big scam that I'm going to talk about that proves Donald Trump is a scammer is Trump University. Okay.
We all need our own university, guys. Come on. I'm going to get a Brodnick University, a Smith University. Wait, there is already a Smith College. Sue, you should start taking money from them.
I should. They have my name.
You should start. Yeah, they got it.
Okay, so he has two education scams, actually. So there's something called the Trump Institute. There was something, which was a lecture series started in 2005. So he licensed his name to these people, Mike Mallon and Irene Mallon, to create a wealth creation workshop that plagiarized its materials and declared bankruptcy in 2008. So he does this thing where he'll license his name, and that's how he'll make cufflinks and ties and stakes. He licenses his name off to make money that way. That makes sense. That's what he did with Trump Institute that ended up being a scammy program and got shut down in 2008. Okay, Trump University is a different thing. In 2004, this guy, Michael Sexton, approached him with an idea, and this was in 2004, and he just wanted to use his name and license his name, like the steaks. But Donald Trump liked his
just like steak.
Donald Trump liked his business plan and proposal so much, he was like, no, I want in. I want to own part of this. And he ended up owning 93% of the company.
Trump did.
The organization was not an accredited university or college. It conducted 3 and 5 day seminars, often labeled retreats, and used high pressure tactics to sell these to customers. It didn't confer college credit, grant degrees, or grade its students. So it's not a university in any way, shape, or form. And in 2005, the New York State Department of Education told him to stop using the name university, because in New York State, universities have to obtain a state charter, and he didn't. And in 2010, they told him again, and he stopped doing business in New York State. So it's not a university, but it just calls himself a university.
I think it's so interesting when you get to a section or a level of wealth where people are like, look, this is the rule. And you're like, you know what? I'll pay the fine. I don't feel like doing
it. Oh my God.
Like, there's so, like, I've never had the audacity to be like, oh, this is a federal rule. This is a government rule that everybody has to follow, or else you'll go to prison. It's like, you know what? Let me throw money at the problem. I'm going to keep the name university, keep conning people. It's worth it.
Oh my God.
It's just this amazing confidence.
It's so amazing. It's, you know, all of the scammers have it. So the focus on the instruction of Trump University was real estate. And Trump claimed in ads, I can turn anyone into a successful real estate investor, including you, which is a huge claim. And most ads, like, don't make claims like this because they'll get sued. But he was not smart enough to realize that.
Care.
Yeah. Typically, the instruction began with an introductory seminar in rented space or a hotel ballroom. At the introductory seminar, students were urged to sign up for additional classes ranging from $1,400 seminars to a $35,000 gold elite program.
Well, you got to get the gold elite program if it's offered.
So it's kind of pyramid schemey in that it just wants you to buy more classes. It kind of reminds me of Nexium. It's like self-improvement shit. In infomercial, Trump said he had handpicked Trump University instructors. He testified in a 2012 deposition, however, that he never selected the instructors for their program. According to Michael Sexton, yeah. Trump signed off on the school's advertisements. So again, like, he's lying. Like, prove over and over again that he's lying and making false claims.
He's like, by professors, I mean commercials. They're the same. They're the same. You listen to a commercial, you watch a commercial, you got a degree. It's how we do it at Trump University.
So it also, Trump University also called itself the Trump Wealth Institute and the Trump Entrepreneur Initiative in certain states where it couldn't say university, and it largely ceased operations in 2010.
Well, you got to change your name like any good alias, like any, you know.
You got to have a lot of
scammer. You got to keep changing your name. You know, it's whether you're a business, a person, a president, just keep changing your name.
Ugh. I'm so heated. Okay. Three lawsuits were filed against Trump University, saying that it engaged in a variety of illegal business practices, ranging from false claims to racketeering. Two were federal class actions, one against Trump University and its managers, including Donald Trump, and one against Donald Trump personally. A third case was filed in New York State court. This woman, Tarla Makoff, who paid nearly $60,000 to Trump University in 2008, brought a class action suit against Trump University in 2010 in the U.S. District Court of Southern California. On May 26, 2010, Trump University filed a counterclaim alleging Makoff had made defamatory statements about Trump University, which is what he does all the time. Like, when he is attacked of someone,
he'll just
the counterattack for defamation.
Did anything happen with that?
Yes. So this California U.S. District Judge Gonzalo Curiel, which is the same judge that Trump called biased because of his Mexican heritage, even though Curiel was born in Indiana and his parents happened to be Mexican, he eventually dismissed the defamation suit. And she, I believe, settled. Former students can now get a refund of up to 90% of the money they spent on courses. So other allegations against the school included the use of predatory sales tactics to pressure vulnerable students into signing up for the most expensive courses, and that graduates were promised that they could get to pose for a photo with Trump. They were instead allegedly offered a cardboard cutout of him. There was also the remarkable matter of the Trump University employee playbook, which included instructions on what to do if an attorney general arrives on the scene, which is, like, very specific.
Guys, here at my job, we're always worried about that attorney general popping up. So this is what we do. We put it in the manual.
So, yes, this was...
he loves a gin and tonic.
This was settled and finalized in 2018 for $25 million. But unfortunately, I read an article that some elderly people that he preyed on with these sales tactics passed away waiting for their money to come back. So he has a history of preying on vulnerable people that he doesn't fucking care about to get money out of them. And yeah, being shady as fuck. In 2010, the Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott considered charges against Trump University, but then Trump donated $35,000 to Greg's campaign and suddenly the charges were dropped. In Florida in 2013, the Attorney General considered charges against Trump University, but Trump donated $25,000 to her campaign and suddenly the charges were dropped. So he has a pattern of doing this.
People like to get paid.
You know, an affidavit from one of his former salespeople, Ronald Schakenberg, says, based on my personal experience and employment, I believe that Trump University was a fraudulent scheme and that it preyed upon the elderly and educated to separate them from their money. It's so fucking sad. Mm-hmm. That is it. Our president is a scammer and he needs to be held accountable, and he fucking cannot get away with this goddamn bullshit. And we need to show that it's not okay and elect someone else this year. That's my soapbox.
That's okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm so worked up. I'm so mad.
I think, like, yeah. I mean, you don't have to be sorry. Yeah. This is like, I feel so helpless sometimes. But no, I agree. I mean, this guy is insane.
He's an insane scammer and con artist. He is like the scammer of all scammers, because mm-hmm. he convinces people he did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And another quote from Gia Tolentino is, as long as he's rich and white and male and bigoted and rapacious, to many people, he represents the most quintessentially American form of power and strength, mm-hmm. which is true.
Well, people like to get behind somebody that's telling them it's going to be okay and I'm correct and you mm-hmm. don't have to think anymore. I think that's the big thing, is that like that is happening a lot, is that he goes like, well, before you make a decision, here's my opinion. And he kind of shoves, he kind of clouds everything that's happening with just a louder, more intense voice. And it's more work to do the digging, to do the research, to study it.
Yeah.
And then he's just covering it all with money and paying off people. And
yeah,
yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
It's insane. The USA Today reported also in 2016, when he was running for president, that Trump and his businesses in the past three decades have been involved in at least 3,500 legal actions. So that's how many lawsuits have been filed against this guy in the past 30 years. That's insane.
Wow.
That's so great. I can't do the math. That's like 100 a year, right?
I'm like laughing because this is insane.
It's insane. How is he's impeached and he's still scamming us? Like, it's crazy. Oh my God, I can't even.
I know.
I did this to myself. I didn't have to get worked up like this.
I know.
If you're a therapist, come on this podcast.
If you're a therapist, tell us all about it.
Oh my God.
I will say, I mean, the fact, if his dad wasn't so horrible, money hungry, and a bigot, he had some smart ideas, like two of them, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, they were criminal, but they were like very smart. And then he's just... they've just continued to just do more criminal actions
over because they think they're above the law, like most scammers. Mm-hmm. They just think they're above the law.
Mm-hmm. I think the issue is that you can't ever doubt yourself or ever let that seep in, or else everything just cracks. So the only way to be successful is just to constantly deny and say that you're correct and it's fine.
Oh my God, I literally feel like I'm going to cry. I know. Because I feel like people are so hopeless. Like, there's no, like, my friend posted an Instagram video of people demonstrating at Chuck Schumer's apartment in Brooklyn in Park Slope mm-hmm. about the war, being like, no war in Iran. And it made me so happy and energized, because like, I was like, oh, this still exists. People still care. And they're still picketing, and they're still like trying to take action. Whereas like when he first took office, like we were so energized and we're so like, mm-hmm. we can't do this anymore. But now it's like, he's fucking beating us down. And I like, don't have the emotional bandwidth to deal with it. And it's awful.
It is awful. Well, I also think that there's a lot of stuff that we as Americans have learned about the legal system that people just sort of didn't rock the boat for a very long time until recently. Like, yes, there were like complete injustices going on with other presidencies and other ways people were like elected and stuff. But at this point, I think a lot of people were like, wait, why did the popular vote not count? Like people were just questioning, like, why are these like lobbyists, and why is money really what's running, what's happening in the government? And why are people like making these other like schemes and scams, and we're not being taken care of and affected? And I think the American people are feeling, now I don't want to speak for all of them, but they're just sort of feeling like no one knew. There's just so much conning and scamming that nobody knew what was happening, what was going on. And it does feel really hopeless, because you're like, at a certain point, you're like, okay, but then this guy in the Senate, like, they're either going to vote for him to be impeached or not, and that's it. And you can just hope that they do, and that's
it. Hi guys, it's Sue. Ooh, that was a crazy one, am I right? That was the first time that Katie and I have ever not been able to find the bright side of something, or to look on the light side, or to like make a joke. I was so heated. So like, we had to stop, and then I came back to it the next day to see how I felt. And now I'm here. It's 2 days later. And you know what? It sucks. So I did a little self-reflection, and I realized that like, what makes me so angry and so visceral is that I have like a lot of PTSD from 9/11. I was in New York on 9/11, and I went to school in the financial district. So there was a lot of waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know? And I was like, I found myself yesterday casually looking on my phone to see, looking at maps to see if Los Angeles or New York is closer to Iran to see where the bomb is getting dropped. And that's probably not normal. That's probably my PTSD talking. I'm just terrified, and I walk around on pins and needles when I engage with politics. And I think that's the way a lot of people are, and we're living in a terrified time, but we have to find some way to engage with it in a normal way and stay connected and to fight still without going crazy. And it's hard. So anyway, this was a heavy one. I appreciate you staying with us. Thank you. So we are Scam Wild Podcast. We have a very special episode coming next week. You're going to love it. It's another mailbag, and it's so much fun, full of so much love. We had so many messages from you guys. We had to do another one. We love that. If you guys want to report any scams to us, feel free to email us at scamwildpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call us at 347-509-9414. I just updated our website, which is scamwildpodcast.com, and that has our Tee Public and our Patreon, links to that, and our Patreon feed is going to be pretty poppin'. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye!
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.